Law of correspondence. Can you think of anything else that you can learn from the law of correspondence? How about history? We can look at history and find a similar time in history to today and correspond it and maybe see what might happen in the near future. And what's a correspondence to history of today that we just mentioned? The Civil War. Okay. The Civil War is a corresponding cycle to today. They were at each other's throats so much that, well, in cases, they physically attacked each other sometimes. It got so bad. And then one half of the nation actually did physically attack the other. What will probably happen here instead of a physical war? Hopefully it doesn't come to that. It could. But what's more likely is a war on the astral plane. So we had a war on the physical plane during the Civil War. And in this cycle, we have a correspondence. But this time, the war is on the emotional plane.
But still over freedom, right?
What say?
Still over the principle of freedom, essentially?
Yeah, it's pretty much the principle of freedom is where the battleground is. But we're slaves on a higher level than we were then. Back then, it was slavery on a physical level. Now, people are enslaved on emotional and mental levels. We have the mark of the beast in our forehead and in our right hand, symbolizing control over your labor and your thoughts. And so we have slavery on a higher level, and it has to be fought out on a higher level. It could disintegrate down to the physical level. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope we can have a nice, fun battle on the emotional plane. The emotional plane is pretty heavy duty. It's funny how people are more scared of emotional battles than they are physical, a lot of them. A lot of people are very brave physically. Wayne, my good friend, he was fearless on the physical level. He'd get picked up by a policeman, and he'd say, "Why don't you go get a decent job where you can earn decent living instead of harassing a citizen like myself?" You know. And he spent several times in jail because they hauled him in and charged him with different things. He spent about, about 6 months in jail altogether over that. But then when he appeared before the justice of the peace, where you all stand for the justice of the peace, he wouldn't stand. One time we were eating at a diner, and there was some guys talking too loud a couple seats down, and I said, "Boy, those guys are really loud." And Wayne says, "Yeah, and I'm going to do something about it." He goes over and tells them to shut up and comes back. And I says, "Well, it's good thing that wasn't some football player you're talking to there." And Wayne says, "Well, he was a football player." So Wayne was fearless that way, but when it come to the emotional level, he was just a total wimp. You know, Curtis isn't here, so I can tell a story about Curtis. he's quite a bit better now, but back when we were younger, we used to go out to eat together, and Curtis would always say, "Oh man, I forgot my wallet. You guys pay for it, and I'll pick it up later," you know, or something like that. Or he'd tell the waitress, "Oh man, we're going to give you a big tip," and then it turned out he had no money. And Wayne was such a wimp that he would always go along and pay his way or give a tip or stuff like that. And I would stiff the waitress on a tip just to make him look bad. But Wayne just didn't want to hurt Curtis's feelings. But then he come to me and he's, "Oh, boy, that damn Curtis, he just really took advantage of me. He had me pay lunch 10 times this month and he's never paid me back." I said, "Well, we bugged him about it? Well, it's not worth the hassle, you know." I said, "Well, Wayne, you come to me and are you complaining about Curtis all the time? So here's what we need to do. Let's bring Curtis in, and we'll explain to him that the situation, and this bothers us. bothers both of us somewhat. And, you know, Kurt's pretty good. When I've had a talk to him before, he's kind of taken note and improved himself. So I think he'd listen to us. So we bring old Curtis in, sit him down, and he says, well, what you want to talk about? So I explained to him, I says, well, Curtis, you know, I love you like a brother and everything, but being your friend costs me maybe $40 extra a month because we go out and buy you dinner and pay tips and don't get it back. And I said, and I said to Wayne, what do you think, Wayne? And Wayne says, well, you shouldn't be accusing Curtis like this. I said, what? And then Wayne stood up for Curtis. I thought, Wayne, you're willing to stand up to these judges and policemen and get thrown in jail, but you're afraid to stand up and tell Curtis what you think. And it just, just blew me away. But he'd have his guys call up, and it was funny. He would come in the office. He often come in the office, and half the time when he got there, he got some phone call from one of his guys working for him that was out of money. And the phone conversation went something like this. Yeah? Yeah, you need how much? Well, I just gave you extra $200 a couple of days ago. What'd you do with that money? Did you spend it on drugs? Oh, man. Well, you stupid son of a bitch. He says, you are just real. And then he really insults the guy in there. And then he says, okay, I'll meet you at the corner of 6th and Main and give you some more money. You know? And he always did this. And his guys, I think, when a new guy come to work for Wayne, they all told him, now listen, here's how to handle Wayne. When you ask him for more money or a loan, you're not going to have to pay it back. But he's going to really grumble a lot. He's maybe going to cuss at you, but he'll give you the money. And I think that's the way they brought new guys into the system. But he used to be so frustrating. And, yeah, it's frustrating. He was more frustrating to me and Curtis than Curtis was with his own flaws. But that was Wayne had too big a heart. And what's funny is he died of having too big a heart. His heart was enlarged right at the point of his death. And it was about 2 or 3 times the normal the size it should have been. That's because he just had a big heart. He just couldn't say no to anybody that asked him for a favor. And felt bad about that. And it could have been avoided. Now, have I told that story before to you?
Yeah.
I have? Yeah. I thought maybe that was a new one.
No.
Okay, sorry about that.
We love Wayne. Did you have a Wayne story about him not being able to say no?
You do?
Yeah. You asked me to drive him up to Kalispell, but you wanted him to go to the gathering, but you knew that he wouldn't be able to drive it. So you asked me to finagle a way for him to come with me without me absolutely saying, come with me, I'll drive you.
Yeah.
So I did. I mentioned that, you know, I need someone to drive with me, and if you would please come with me and help me stay awake and help me drive. He said, sure. Well, I was driving along and I did get pretty sleepy and he was doing fine. He was wide awake and everything. So I asked him, you know, can you drive for a little bit? I'll take a nap while you drive. He says, sure, no problem. And I get over to the passenger side and I'm just about to doze off and he runs off the road.
Really?
He's got two wheels over the edge and I'm like, What are you doing? I didn't tell anybody. What are you doing? He says, well, I'm kind of sleepy. You've been driving 5 minutes or less. I just asked you if you were awake, or if you could drive. He didn't say no. Yeah. He didn't say I'm sleepy. He said, okay, and just risked my life. And his too.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't like to say no to anybody.
Except on the physical level.
Except on the physical level?
Yeah, the cops or
authorities.
If somebody came to Wayne and said, look, you have to do this, I mean, his hair would bristle up and he would say, no, I don't have to do that.
He doesn't like authority.
Yeah, he was very anti-authority.